All right. So this series has been about preaching the gospel. And in fact, the title of this series is called The Gospel. And what we have done is try to present different ways that you are that you can hear and present the gospel. The way number one, in sermon number one, we talked about the gospel of forgiveness. And this is when Reverend Burks was going through what we call the Roman Road. And talking about how we are guilty of sin, and that we could be determined to eternal condemnation, but God, in His wisdom and providence, sent Jesus Christ to bear the penalty of our sins on the cross, and because of that, and because He was raised again, we are declared innocent before Him. Then we talked about the gospel of restoration last week. And we talked about how sin brings shame. And because we had shamed ourselves and embarrassed God, what God should have done was keep us away. What He should have done was alienate us. But what God did was send Jesus Christ to this earth and bear the shame on the cross. And because of that, and because Jesus rose again, we have been honored to be sons and daughters of our Lord and Savior, of our Father. Amen. And so today, what we're going to do is come from the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. If you're having some trouble finding that, you're going to want to go to the table of contents, go to the New Testament section, and you're going to see Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Philippians and Ephesians, and then Colossians. And once you get to Colossians, I want you to turn to the second chapter, chapter 2. That's the big number 2. Colossians, the second chapter. And then I want you to turn to the 15th verse. Colossians, the second chapter, the 15th verse. And now, I am going to go ahead and read this out of the Christian Standard Bible Version. Again, the book of Colossians, the second chapter and the 15th verse. Y'all know how we do. We're going to be scripture hopping, so don't feel like, you know, that's it, okay? But I'm going to try my best to announce my scriptures. Amen. The book of Colossians, the second chapter, 15th verse, reads as follows. It says, "He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them in Him." Amen. The title of this sermon is called The Gospel of Deliverance. The Gospel of Deliverance. This world is more than what you can see. This world is more than what you can touch. In fact, we know about these five senses, right? You know, sight, hearing, touch, taste, smell. But the world is more than that. Raise your hand if you're breathing right now. Amen. You're breathing something invisible, which is air. Now, I know some of y'all are real scientific and say, well, if you put it under a microscope and, you know, I understand that. How many of us have ever loved or hated before? That's not something you can poke with a stick. How many of us have goals, ambitions, dreams? That's not something you can touch with your finger. And how many of us have had fears and anxieties? Again, those are not physical things. However, these unseen forces, these invisible things do drive the physical. We're all sitting here because of this thing called gravity, and we're not floating up in the air. Well, I want to tell you that not only is what seen matters, but the unseen matters. And we're not just talking about things that are invisible to the naked eye, like air or any type of gas, and we're not even talking about emotions and thoughts, but what also exists is the spirit realm. You understand that if you believe in God, that God is spirit. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in what? Spirit and in truth. Two things you can't point to or poke with your finger. But then, if you believe in God, that means you also have to believe in the devil. If you believe in angels, that also means you believe in demons. If you believe in blessings, you believe in curses. And it goes on and on and on. And these are powerful forces that work behind the scenes to push human behavior. And this is important because as Christians, we believe in Ephesians 6:12, where it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, the physical stuff, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of the darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. And in America, I know a lot of that sounds like heebie-jeebie, hoobity-hoobity type of talk, but some of us know that demons can run things. Some of us know that evil spirits lurk and push people to do the things that they do. Sometimes people are possessed or inhabited by demons. Some of us are influenced by demonic lies. The devil's forces are everywhere. But how did this all start? How did this start? It started in the Garden of Eden. See, God is the supreme, the one who has all dominion, all power, all authority. This God created heaven and earth. And out of everything that he created, his prize creation was mankind. That means you and me. And when he created us, he gave us dominion. He gave us authority to rule over his creation. It says, Genesis 1:28, God blessed them, the man and woman, and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and what? Subdue it. Genesis 1:28, it says, rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. We were made to run God's creation. We were made to take care of it, to cultivate it, to make sure it stays in order. But then something went out of order. Because in the meantime, while all this is happening, and it says this in Isaiah 14, how the devil who wasn't the devil yet. It was God had just created angels, and there was one angel by the name of Lucifer, and he was the most powerful angel in heaven. And he he was in charge of praise and everything else. He had position, he had authority, he had status, but it was not enough because he was number two and God was number one. And sometimes some of y'all might know that sometimes people don't like to be number two. They like to be number one. And so what happened was that Lucifer and a third of the angels in heaven rebelled against the rule of God, hoping to usurp his authority. But however, God just sent them down. And in fact, Jesus talks about, I saw Satan fall like lightning. He sent them down with the quickness to this place called hell, which was originally prepared just for the devil and his angels. Well, while this is all going on, Satan, which in Hebrew is Satan, which translates to adversary, which in modern day terms translates to hater, because that's really what Satan is just a big hater. He did not like that God's that he had been sent out, and he had no chance of repentance. He had no chance of forgiveness. Satan and his demons are doomed forever. And when you're losing, sometimes you just want to drag people with you while you're losing. You know, they say misery loves company. And so Satan saw this big and great world that God had designed, and he saw God's most prized possession, humans, and he said, I'm gonna go mess all that up. And so what he did was inhabit this snake and this serpent, excuse me, and this serpent was in the garden. The serpent, one of God's creations, was in the garden, and the serpent seduced Eve into eating of the fruit. He seduced Eve to going against not only God's authority, but also her husband's authority, and assuming the position of decision maker above God, and eating of the fruit because it was desirable to make her wise and give her some knowledge that she didn't have before, because man did not know evil at that time. But they both ate. You know, man, it was supposed to be humans over creation, but the creation had authority over the humans now. Told them what to do. And their eyes were open, as we discussed last week, and they covered themselves. But when the presence of the Lord came, they hid. They hid from God. Genesis 3:8 says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. God had already intended a personal relationship with him. This was not the first time that God had been around them, but now they're hiding. They're supposed to be ruling over creation. And now they're hiding amongst the creation. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And now, because of this sin, now here we go. What did sin do? Sin became master over them. Sin subjected them to these spirits and forces. This was the beginning of all of what sin would do. We became, because of Adam, we became what the Bible calls slaves to sin. And that's the problem, is that we're slaves to sin. We serve these forces and these spirits. When there's a kingdom that God wants to establish, but the fact that he even has to establish it means that there is already a kingdom of darkness. that we seem to have been born into. And what this sin does is it binds us. Y'all ever try to break a bad habit, but you just can't? Y'all know people who are addicted to things? And they say they're going to change. They swear they're going to change. But you put some betting cards in front of that gambling addict. But if that alcoholic walks anywhere near a bar, all of a sudden, all that talk about changing, all that talk about being faithful that you actually meant at one time, that you were serious about at one time, it just seems like something has a hold on you. And if you're in other cultures, you know that there is the power of spirits and demons at work. You know that sometimes the only way to get information or to survive in certain other cultures is to submit to certain authorities, certain spiritual authorities. And all of these things are what keeps you bound. And when it's time to follow God, and when it's time to try to do what the Lord wants you to do, it's always hard to do. It's always hard. It's always so easy to follow what the world wants us to do. It's always so easy to do what sin wants us to do. It's always so easy to do that. But it's always so hard to do what God wants us to do. And that is because we have been held in bondage in sin. And the sin holds us in bondage. And what it's doing is leading us to the place of eternal bondage, which we call hell. See, Satan and his demons, they have no shot of getting out. There is no chance of deliverance for them. However, for us, it's a different story. We don't have to go there because the place was not made for us to go. However, how can you fight back against being bound by sin? How can you fight back when you're in a weird relationship and you know you should leave and you know you should get out of that relationship, but something keeps pulling you back? Something keeps pulling you back to that toxicity. Something keeps pulling you back to getting drunk. Something keeps pulling you back to getting high. Something keeps pulling you back to cussing people out. Something keeps pulling you back. How do you get out of this? And what our solution, what we have come up as humans is, there's two ways we can do it. We can either deliver ourselves, or we can empower ourselves. See, we're not talking about the gospel yet. We're talking about what we have done. So delivering yourself is running from the system. See, if you're a slave to sin, you think that the way to get out of sin is for you to run away from it. So you do all the things in your might. You muster up all the strength and courage to run away from your sin, to start and try to change a new life. And it might seem to work, but something happens. Either something comes up and you just get dragged right back in, or in the case of addicts, they may give up one addiction and replace it with another. So you run, but you can't hide. And so if you can try to deliver yourself, but also you can try to empower yourself. And what do I mean by this? Empowering yourself means not that you're running from the system, but you start to play the system. See, sometimes we just give up on trying to fight sin, so we start to justify it. We just say, well, you know what? I can't not have sex before marriage. So you know what? I'm going to confess my sins while I'm at church. I'm gonna just be good with God here, and He knows my heart. I'm gonna just make sure I don't drink at the family function, You know, because I don't want the kids to see that. But I'm going to just go over here with my buddies, and then we can have a good old time like we used to. Yeah, I know I got a problem. Yeah, I know the doctor said, but as long as I manage it, as long as I can work on it, then I'm good. Some of us may say, you know, I'm dealing with a whole lot of anxiety. I'm dealing with a whole lot of stress. And then we say, well, you know, there's this thing called Reiki that we can get involved in. And that seems to work. And I don't have to wait for the Lord to come save me. I ain't got to wait and deal with all these issues. If I can just get my pressure points touched and just release the energy, then that's how I'm going to fix me. And the sad thing is that as long as you're doing it without God, you're still in the system. You think you're running from the system, but the whole system was designed to keep you from God. You think you're becoming more powerful and managing your system, but yourself in the system, but the system was designed to keep you from God. And the devil and sin and the world, which is, I like to call it the unholy trinity, the sin, Satan, and the world, they don't care how you do it. They just want you to stay away from God. And so we find different ways of trying to fix ourselves and trying to deliver ourselves without God. But the problem is this. When we do that, we are still in our sins. We are still bound to sin. We're still in bondage. And if we don't do anything about that, then guess what? We are going to be dragged all the way to hell. So what do you do about this? Because if you try hard enough, it ain't going to work. If you try to manage it in a different way, it doesn't work. So then what? Should we just give up? Are we doomed? Do we have nothing else going for us? And here is where the gospel is so beautiful. Because even in the garden, Adam and Eve, who were bound and cursed by sin because of what they had done, God actually had delivered them from a situation. And here's the situation. If you read verses later on in Genesis 3, what you'll see is that God removed them from the garden, and I would like to say he even delivered them from the garden. Why? Because the devil's ultimate plan, I don't know if y'all saw this, but God hit me with this yesterday. The devil's ultimate plan was not just to curse Adam and Eve, was not just to curse God's creation, not just for us to die. His ultimate plan was really for us to stay cursed forever. And so this is why God had to kick us out of the Garden of Eden, is because if Adam and Eve had stayed cursed and eaten from the fruit of the tree of life, they would have been cursed forever. There would not have been any deliverance. There would be no salvation. But God saw through Satan's plan, and he delivered them. Maybe not in the way we would like it, because he kicked them out, but he delivered them from what was the ultimate issue, which is that Satan wanted God's creation cursed permanently. And so this is the gospel right here, is that even in the beginning, God is delivering his people. And God chose to do this through the nation of Israel. When they were in bondage, again, bondage in Egypt, God had to deliver them. He sent all of these, 10 plagues? And each of those 10 plagues represented the gods of Egypt who were supreme over the physical. So what he did was God showed his dominance over the Egyptian gods by completely disrupting what they should have controlled. And he delivered them from Egypt, which was, I would say, the strongest nation in the world at that time. And then God kept delivering them over and over and over from this nation and that nation. He continued to deliver them from the Assyrians. He could deliver them from the Babylonians. He delivered them from the Persians. He kept doing this over and over and over against world powers Because God is a good God, and he's a powerful God, and he does not succumb to any type of authority. However, God would deliver Israel over and over and over, but Israel will keep messing it up over and over and over. That's why they need to be delivered so many times, because Israel kept messing up so many times. And God would deliver them over and over and over. And it seemed like, yes, God is having his small little victories, but it seemed like he was losing the battle. It seemed like the world was just going to go into complete ruin. It seemed like there is no chance. Because if God is working in a nation, and the nation can't even be faithful, how in the world will God redeem his creation? Enter Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary. And he lived for 33 years. Jesus was born under the law, meaning Jesus dealt with restrictions. Jesus, the Son of God, dealt with the restrictions that man had. He dealt with temptation as man had, because God cannot be tempted by anyone, but Jesus could be tempted because he was human. Jesus dealt with the temptation just as we did, but he was without sin. And Jesus lived the perfect life. He showed us what it's like to be free. He showed us what it's like to live for God. He showed us these things. However, Jesus willingly subjected himself to be bound to a cross. He willingly chose to be nailed in his hands and nailed in his feet to a cross. And we know that at any time, the scripture says, a legions of angels could have come down. He could have called them down, legions of angels, and he could have ended all this right there, but he stayed there, and he took all of the sin on the cross for you and for me. He took the punishment. He took the bondage that was due to him, that was due to us on the cross. And that's why in Colossians 2:15 says, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them in him. God showed me something different. He said, you know, we always like to talk about how the devil, how we tricked, or Jesus tricked the devil by going to the cross. However, I think the devil was actually trying to prevent him from going to the cross. Some of us might remember when Peter was talking to Jesus and tell him, hey, you never going to nobody's cross. And Jesus had to tell him, get thee behind me, what? Satan. Because he knew that was Satan's agenda, to keep him. In fact, that's why he got beat up so hard, because he wanted to say, you know what? You're going to stop hitting me. Hit me one more time, and I'm going to call the salvation thing off. Hit me one more time. Spit at me one more time. And I'm gonna show you what's really good. Mock me, say my name wrong one more time. Gamble, throw dice one more time in front of me, and I'm gonna show you what it is. But Jesus, like a lamb led to slaughter, he stayed and he went on the cross. Even while he was on the cross, they were mocking him. If you say who you are who you say you are, get yourself down. But Jesus stayed there and took the punishment for us. And because of that, all of the schemes that the devil threw at him didn't work. Jesus showed that he was triumphant on the cross by taking the punishment of sin that we were due. And most stories, when you die, that's the end of the story. However, we Christians are weird, because we keep talking about how Jesus was taken off the cross, and then he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and that he was dead Friday night. And yeah, he was dead Saturday, and he was dead Saturday night. But then early Sunday morning, God raised him from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:54 through 55 says, when this corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility and this mortal body is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, death, is your victory? Where, death, is your sting? Ephesians 1, 20 through 23 reads as follows. It says, he exercised, talking about the Father, he exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead. And we're not talking metaphorical. We're not talking in a, you know, spiritual type of, you know, philosophical way. We're talking about he physically raised him from the dead. He exercised his power in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Verse 22, and he subjected everything under his feet and appointed him as what? Head over everything in the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. Jesus beat sin because he didn't sin. He proved you can live. He lived a life with no sin. And Jesus beat Satan because he got over all of his schemes. He didn't succumb to any of his schemes to get him away from the cross, but he went to the cross. Not only did he beat Satan, not only did he announce to the demons that he had triumphed over them, but also he beat the world. Because if you're trying to get rid of somebody, death is the right way. But he showed, not only by beating the world, but also by beating death, that there is nothing that can stop Jesus Christ. There is absolutely nothing that will stop him. He will deliver. He absolutely will. And so what do we do with this? What do we do with this message? Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Jesus can deliver you from whatever your situation is. If you're struggling with addictions, he can deliver you. And in fact, he has a history of delivering people from addictions. If you are subject to evil spirits, he can deliver you because he has a history of delivering people from evil spirits. And not only that, I'm going to tell you how powerful Jesus is. Jesus is so powerful, he even gave us authority. So that we're not just walking around like bounded victims. But we even have authority that in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. That in the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. In the name of Jesus, we can move forward. In the name of Jesus, how you were brought up does not define where you're going. In the name of Jesus, that your limitations does not determine what God can do with you. In the name of Jesus, the situations that you're in right now, you can get out of if you just submit to him. In the name of Jesus. Why the name of Jesus? Because the name of Jesus is a name that is above every name. That name is powerful. It means something. You can be free if you trust in Jesus Christ. And if you trust in Jesus Christ now, you are free. And so the challenge for us is to walk in the freedom. You know, you can be in jail and Christ comes and opens up the jail cell, but you got to walk out. It's open. It's wide open. But you're so scared about who's around the corner that's going to put me back in. You're so scared about how am I going to live in this new world. So maybe I should stay here where it's comfortable. You're so worried about what people are going to think about you. What are people going to think about me? Because, I mean, what am I without my, without when I don't have my alcohol addiction? What am I when I'm out of this relationship? What am I when I'm totally trusting God? What am I? And those fears, again, fears, will make us stay in the jail cell, even though the door is wide open. But Christ set us free, and he set us free so we can walk in freedom. Understand, you are not just a victim. You are a victor. Romans 8, 37 through 39 says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That means we got authority. That means anything in the world that tries to stop us, it cannot stop us, because God is in us and he's with us and he's watching over us. There is nothing that can separate us. When you're delivered, you're actually delivered. But you have to walk out of the jail cell. You have to walk out of the hallway. And you have to walk out into freedom. And you have to make the decision to never look back, because Jesus has already made the way. It is already possible for you. Yeah, I know your family history. Jesus has already made it possible for you. Yeah, I know your current situation and how everything's... Jesus has already made a way for you. He's already made it possible. But now you have to trust in him. And you have to experience the deliverance.